All right, here we go. Friday night, and we are live. It is Short Show Friday. Short Show, boys. Short Show, done by 10:10 at the latest tonight. Hope everybody's ready. I like to get the boys home for date night with their wives, starting at about 10:30 at night. But anyway. Give me a little Trump, Aaron. There we go.
We're going to talk about Big Tish.
We are going to talk about Big Tish. Did you see that video? I mean, that woman's huge. Like, I mean, I'm talking about, like, listen, I'm a fat guy. But, like, man, like, I mean, you can see about how wide I am. She's like this wide.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
don't even fit in the screen.
Easily that wide. Yeah, it doesn't fit in the screen. But holy moly, that woman.
Wide angle.
Man, hassle-free TV doesn't believe me. Sure, I'm telling you. That's my friend. I know him real well. I'm telling you, man. 10-10. 10-10 tonight. Got to get the guys home for date nights with their wives, starting at 10:30 Eastern time here in the state of Florida. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Gritterdom is on. Skunk71 is on. JBC2020 is on. Keylime 13 is on. JD Will is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Robert Arodi is on. Bud Dave is on. Uncle Wally's on. Salty Gonads is on. D9597 is on. Todd Suff's on. Alpha Acres is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. TJT1's on. Lizzie859 is on. Monkets 49 is on. JD Wool's on. Big Jim Go Blue's on. Guitar Glenn's on. Chopper Supernut is on. Keylime 13's on. Keeper 1376 is on. PJ Wiles 1 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Shaylin 04 is on. Marshard or something like that. I love you if I didn't get your name right. Is on. Clean, the one and only. Clean Sanchez is on. Let's see here. Big Scott 1 is on. Todd Supp is on. DevNew 2011 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Boy 7 Howdy is on. Let me see who I missed here. Conservative Waffle is on. Conservative Warrior 65 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Hello back at you. Producer Aaron is on. Alaska Man 1165 is on. Judy Anita is on, scrolling down. Gucci Buckeye is on, scrolling down. Patriot of the North is on. Bill F1 is on. Lisa Sobo is on. Dave Souders is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop on to Trump. Not a whole lot of huge, huge news going on today. You had the girl who like barfed in the Oval Office and had to be escorted out. It's not a lot to cover there. But anyway, just a little, some of Trump observations will pop kind of in and out of what is news. This isn't really newsworthy. I mean, well, it's very much newsworthy, but it's not like front page news. But it just caught my eye, and I had it for the show last night, but I didn't get to it. It's a Matt Van Swell video, and this is an observation of what's going on in North Carolina. See, of course, all of us, and we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of it. You remember that we had, you know, the helicopter crash with the airplane. How many months ago do you think that was, Aaron? I don't remember. It was during the Trump administration. So what, maybe February?
Yeah.
Everybody's forgot about it. Seriously, I've forgotten about it. You've probably forgotten about it. We have no explanation to this day of how a helicopter collided with a passenger airline. We have no idea. And there's still a mass cleanup going on because, you know, Helene hit North Carolina, Alabama, and Tennessee, most of the damage being in western North Carolina, Asheville area, which is pretty much, for all intents and purposes, gone. And mass and giant swaths of eastern Tennessee are also gone. And people forget. I've forgotten. Everybody forgets, even though Helene hit hard here also and did a lot of damage. People had to move away because of it. People, our houses were absolutely underwater. But anyway, this is just a comparison here. As I said, Matt Van Swell video. On our way to school, my toddler and I count the dump trucks we see hauling debris in western North Carolina. In December, under the Biden administration, 15 trucks. Today, we counted the most ever, 43. Shows you the difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration. Play for me. So I just wanted to show you, those are the videos that are going by because those are the debris vehicles. And if you've ever seen them in like Florida and North Carolina, Florida and whatever, any other state that gets hit with, yeah, just side by side, you will see those for weeks and weeks and weeks, these trucks with these giant haulers in the back with the claws in the back because they haul away all the debris. Well, under the Biden administration, basically they were a no-show, and under Donald Trump, and this is now, so Helene was in what, I think it was early October 2024. So now we are what, let's see, November, December, January, February, March, five and a half months later, And Trump is doing more now than the Biden administration did right after the storm. And we chronicled this. I'm not going to go deep into it, but it truly is amazing because when we initially were covering this story, FEMA was there and doing absolutely nothing, absolutely zero. And it was all turned around immediately as soon as the Trump administration took over. I believe it was under DHS. I think it was may have been DHS secretary initially, Kristi Noem going in there. I'm not sure. But anyway, they turned it around immediately. And now, of course, Donald Trump way outperforming Joe Biden. So Donald Trump hasn't forgot about these people either. But the Democrat, you ever heard the Democrats? No, they're busy. They're busy down in El Salvador rescuing an MS-13 member, out trying to rescue an MS-13 member that they never will. And even if they do rescue him, they're going to bring him back and he's going to be deported right back to El Salvador and put right back in a CCOT. Let me show you this. There's been news coverage on it, but not a lot. Strange. I mean, imagine if you had, just side by side this for a second, imagine if you had an assassination plot against any Democrat, any Democrat whatsoever. And of course, we've had assassination plots against Trump three times. This is number three. Attempted to carry it out twice with Thomas Crooks and Ryan Rausch, all tied, Rausch especially tied to Ukraine. And I believe that Crooks was even tied to Ukraine with all of his encrypted numbers overseas. Kind of weird. But imagine if this was ever. Now, we also had the assassination attempt on Brett Kavanaugh. That person just got sentenced to prison. And, you know, again, the Democrats call us the violent party. We never try to assassinate anybody. I mean, they'll always claim 1-6. What about the people with zip ties on 1-6? Yeah, those were Antifa members and not had nothing to do, or feds, and had nothing to do with us on the right, on the right side of politics. So anyway, Margarita Simeon video tweet. Nikita, I'm going to do the best I can. Kassep, the teen who murdered his parents in Wisconsin, it's all true. In February, plotted to assassinate Trump, wasn't acting alone. FBI records show he was in contact with Ukrainians, just like Ryan Rausch, discussing how to carry out the attack and frame it as a Russian operation. So Democrat, same exact scenario, over and over and over again. Exact same thing. Russia, Russia, Russia. Slava Ukraine. Ukraine is great. Ukraine is what caused the Russian collusion hoax, by the way. It started with Ukrainians and the Ukrainian embassy in Washington, D.C. So all these Slava, just remember, whenever people are saying Slava Ukraine, and the idiots on the right who end up saying Slava Ukraine are actually supporting their own demise, because Ukraine is anti-West, anti-conservative and anti-Republican. He also asked how soon he could flee to Ukraine afterward and whether he'd be able to have a normal life there. This should have been headline news. No mainstream media outlet has touched these public records at all. But now that we have Kash Patel and Dan Bongino running the FBI, at least we have some information coming out of the DOJ. Although, again, to me, greatly underperforming. I mean, people are like, come on, Tom, you know, you give them time. There's no time. And I'm not the only one. Steve Bannon is all, Kash Patel and Steve Bannon are close. Steve Bannon is all over the FBI and all over the DOJ for basically not releasing anything. And I love Trump. Best president in my lifetime, best president in my opinion in history. But where's the JFK files? Where are the RFK files? Where are the MLK files? Where is the Epstein flight logs? I mean, why has nothing been released? Now, again, like, give them time. Okay, so we've had January, February, March, April. And so we've had about four months, nothing. Why does it get what? Well, because we're concerned about victims' information being released. I've already gone over this. I won't go in great detail. But Brett will confirm he's written a lot of police reports. I've written a lot of police reports. Read a lot of police reports. They're already redacted. If it's an underage victim, it's already redacted on a supplemental form. So can we please stop with the lying? Does everyone remember that it was 2 months ago when Pam Bondi said that the Jeffrey Epstein file was on her desk? Does everybody remember that? And it was about to be released, and she just had to look at it. We need to hold the Trump administration just as accountable as anybody else. We need to know why these things are not being released. You know, nice job releasing this, but it's politically beneficial, and it needed to be released, and this should be released, but it's politically beneficial to the FBI to release it. We need the stuff that might not be so beneficial to us. We already know that we're a corrupt country. We already know every country's corrupt. We already know that we assassinate people and cause color revolutions. We already know that. It's just like I said about Israel. Everyone's like, be anti-Israel, pro-Israel. Neither one. They are just like us. Mossad was involved almost definitely in a myriad of terroristic activities in the United States, but so was the CIA. So how do you hate Israel and love America? You just say, you know what? They both have levels of corruption in the country. We know Mossad was involved on October 7th, but most likely so was the CIA. So, I mean, that's how you have to look at things. And Aaron and I were talking about this last night. Really, I mean, everything in life has been blown up. I mean, for me anyway, some of you were red-pilled a long time before I was. I was red-pilled about five and a half years ago. So for a lot of you, you've already been red-pilled. You've been watching Alex Jones since the late 90s, but I haven't. So now I'm red-pilled, and now I just had it in Aaron's note for a long time. But it's like, there are no good guys and bad guys. I mean, what we thought, you know, I mean, because I listened up until a few years ago, I believe what was told about 9/11. I honestly thought it was terrorist hijackers, not CIA-sponsored terrorist hijackers, if there were any hijackers even in the planes. And I honestly thought Building 7 fell naturally. I did.
Yeah.
I mean, now you look at it, it's like you look like an absolute buffoon to believe that those buildings fell naturally. I mean, they fell because of an impact of a plane hundred stories up, and that's going to collapse an entire building, like in pure demolition form. But it's all blown up. So let me show you this video. Just speaking of Ukraine, kind of just a side note, but it's an excellent video because right now Ukraine is on the back burner, but every day hundreds of people are dying there every single day, and it ends up in the back burner. And this is just an excellent little commentary for a minute and 30 seconds by Elon Musk on Ukraine. It's an Alex Jones video. Play for me.
Well, I have no respect for the warmongers and the war profiteers and those who want the war to continue forever for their own purposes. This is, in my view, an evil thing. Because I'll talk to someone on the left and they'll say, we must not give in to Russia. I'm like, but you have no plan for success. So what you are suggesting then is that we send these poor kids into the meat grinder every day for nothing, with no end in sight, forever. That is cruel, inhumane, and senseless. So President Trump is right, but there must be peace, and it's time for the slaughter of the young men and old men to stop. It's time to stop this senseless death machine. That's really what it comes down to. There are those who like to have the appearance of empathy, but they don't have the reality of empathy. Those who are pro-war, they have the appearance of empathy. They're hypocrites and liars. If you want the reality of empathy, we must stop the senseless everyday death that lasts forever. That's what true empathy is. We should care about those men who are dying in the trenches in Ukraine and Russia. We didn't want to be there. They're conscripted. They're forced to be there. Forced to be the Ukraine conscripted, Russia conscripted. They're forced to kill each other. Why? For how long? It's time to stop.
All right, so there you go. And I just put that out there. I think it's an excellent video because we forget about him. What's Chrissy Van Hollen doing? Flying down to El Salvador to try to get an MS-13 member free as he votes to slaughter people every single day in Ukraine. I mean, the galactic, it's not incompetence, it's incoherence and stupidity of the left and many on the rhino right. They have all of these different causes, the ridiculous causes, whatever they are, just focusing on Chris Van Hollen for a minute. And I guess Cory Booker's supposed to be going down to El Salvador too. And of course, and we know that Van Hollen ended up meeting with Abrego Garcia today in Margarita Gate, they called it. But anyway, as Bukele made fun of the drinks they had, they weren't really drinking, from what I could tell, it looked like water with margarita like lining on the outside of it, but it's still funny as crap. But anyway, that's their cause. As all these people are dying in this war every day, a very preventable war that never would have happened if Donald Trump was in office. And what's really funny is Van Hollen's down there and he's trying to rescue this MS-13 member while he support. Remember now, he votes against every single anti-illegal immigration law out there, including Laken Riley bill. He voted against the Laken Riley bill, which simply means that you would automatically deport child sex rapists, and felons out of the country automatically. He voted against that and is down there trying to re-import an MS-13 member from an El Salvadorian prison while he supports 41.2 million abortions per year. I mean, think about it. I mean, how do these people even assess themselves? How do they ever calculate, as Elon Musk was talking about, their veneer of morality? I will never understand it. I got to show you this Wall Street Apes video. I know I'm jumping all over the place. Just a bunch of miscellaneous stuff. Wall Street Apes video. Whoa, you literally cannot make this up. Unredacted lawsuit documents show Joe Biden was the one working with Russia. Biden secretly opened a back door for Russian oil. Steve Bannon, play it for me.
John, you've got a big breaking story, sir. What do you got for us this morning?
Yeah, listen, so new documents that we obtained first through a lawsuit and then through James Comer's subcommittee, because our lawsuit documents were highly redacted. James Comer was able to get the unredacted version. They show that Joe Biden, while publicly in 2014 vowing to punish Russia for its first invasion of Ukraine, actually secretly worked behind the scenes to open a back door so that Moscow's oil and gas could go into Ukraine after the invasion of Ukraine. Think about that. They're out there in public saying, sanction them, punish them. They're terrible guys. But behind the scenes, they actually were arranging for Russian gas to flow back into Ukraine right after the invasion. Now, there's a couple of reasons for it. Perhaps the most significant reason is that the company, Burisma, the one that Hunter Biden worked for, did not have enough gas supply to heat the country in the upcoming winter of 2014-2015. So Joe Biden goes to bat, and it actually is very beneficial to his son in Burisma. These documents were all conducted, all these negotiations, these secret negotiations, on Joe Biden's private pseudonym email account. Think about that. He's negotiating with Russia. He's talking to Germany, and the documents are kept off the official books. They're on his private email, probably because they were beneficial to Hunter Biden's company. But those documents just broke. The story's up at Just the News, and it's another example of Democrats being against Russia until, well, they're for it. We saw it with Bill Clinton in the $500,000 speech. We saw it with Skokovo, and now we see it again in a decade too late, perhaps. We're now seeing once again Democrats on both sides of the Russia equation.
So we oftentimes, because of the current war, forget about the war that occurred in 2014 after the color revolution that we ourselves caused. And I could talk about it for 30 minutes, but I'm not going to do that. But unredacted lawsuit documents show Joe Biden was the one working with Russia. Biden secretly opened a back door to Russian oil. Slava Ukraine, and Aaron and I and Brett have all changed it to slaughter Ukraine. We love Ukraine. Remember Elon Musk? He said, you have these people with this veneer of compassion, this veneer of virtue. It's all lies. It's all about personally enriching themselves. All of it. The reason why they want this war to continue is because they are all benefactors of the military-industrial complex and receive, whether it's through NGOs or whether it's actually through campaign contributions from NGOs that are sponsored by the military-industrial complex, contributed to by the military-industrial complex, and they all end up with multi-million dollar careers funded by the military-industrial complex, both in and out of government. Original lawsuit documents were highly redacted. Well, of course. Everything is highly redacted. Why? What? Why would this be high? Why would Joe Biden's? Think about this. Think about how corrupt the government is. That Anthony Fauci's emails are highly redacted. He works for the NIH. He worked for the NIAID through the NIH. Why would somebody who looks at a microscope, why would his emails ever be redacted for national security purposes? Everything is for national security purposes. You can't put on a lawful defense of yourself if you're a J6. Gulag, if you're a J6 Gulag prisoner, you can't put on an accurate a defense of yourself, a good defense of yourself, because they refuse to release the exculpatory videos showing you and showing everybody that you're innocent. They won't release them to your defense attorneys for national security purposes because there's secret hallways in the Capitol or in the Capitol. Imagine that just for a moment, that you are on trial for your life. and you have a video that shows that you were not where they claim that you were. This happened over and over again, and those videos were refused to be released to the defense attorneys because of national security reasons. And the DOJ just says, just trust us. It's not exculpatory. We're supposed to trust Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco. And if you don't, you're an insurrectionist and guilty of seditious conspiracy. If you don't trust Merrick Garland, who refuses to release still, well, not to this day because he's not in charge anymore, but refused to release the transcribed interview of Joe Biden by the special counsel. So just imagine, that's what goes on all over this country. Anthony Fauci, his emails come from these two leading virologists saying this is COVID-19, a lab-made virus. And that's all redacted. Why would that be redacted? Why? How's that a national security interest that Anthony Fauci paid EcoHealth Alliance, well, I mean, to create gain-of-function viruses in the Wuhan Institute of Virology through Peter Daszak? Why? Why would that? Why is that a national security? Why is that a national security situation? Why? It's got nothing to do with national security. It has to do with their personal malfeasance and covering up. Say, why would Joe Biden's dealings with Russian oil, by the way, and Aaron heard this, and we're wondering if it was under Stingray 67 or Robert L. Peters, his 38 different pseudonyms that he used. I mean, why would any government official create 38 different government email accounts with different names on it? And as a Democrat, imagine if a Republican did that. And guess how many Republicans have done it? None. Only you corruptocrats do it. And listen, we have some heinous, awful, disgusting rhinos that hold seats in the Senate and the House. I understand that. The Mittens Romneys of the world, the Murkowskis, the Collinses, the McConnells, the Grahams, and Cornyns, and myriad of others I could name. This is only really three or four actual conservative senators. But they still don't do that. Only your party does. How do you think that it's virtuous to be a Democrat when all you do is lie and cover up? Well, we lie and cover up for an eventual great outcome. You can never lie and cover up for an eventual great outcome. Because be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you are sowing lies, deceit, and fraud for an eventual outcome, the outcome will be what? Lies, deceit, and fraud. But anyway, original lawsuit documents were highly redacted. James Comer was able to get the unredacted version. They show that Joe Biden was publicly, in 2014, vowing to punish Russia. Just a typical, repulsive, disgusting politician. Out in public, punish Russia, 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 Russia for his first invasion, Crimea, in Ukraine. But was actually secretly worked behind the scenes to open a back door so that Moscow's oil and gas could go into Ukraine after the invasion of Ukraine. Why is that? Because his son worked for the middleman gas and oil company called Burisma and was receiving $80,000 a month to sit on their board. That's why. Have you ever wondered how it is that Joe Biden made his most money ever as president of the United States, around $400,000 a year, but it's worth $12, $13, $14 million? How he has a Rehoboth Beach mansion. You don't get a Rehoboth Beach mansion as a senator. You shouldn't anyway. Think about that part of the article from John Solomon. They're out there in public saying, sanction them, punish Russia, sanction Russia. And then actually trading in Russian oil for their own personal financial benefit. That's the Democratic Party. That's what it means to be a Democrat. Absolute corruptocrat. But behind the scenes, they were actually arranging for Russian gas to flow into Ukraine right after the invasion. These secret negotiations on Joe Biden's private pseudonym, it was Aaron, pseudonym email account. So it's probably under Robert L. Peters or Stingray 67. How do you look at yourself in the mirror as a Democrat and believe that your party has any virtue whatsoever, any credibility whatsoever, when these are your disgusting, repulsive politicians? Think about that. He's negotiating with Russia. He's talking to Germany, and the documents are kept off official books that are on his private email. It's just like when Anthony Fauci went over to talk 6 out of 7 CIA scientists, to talk them out of claiming, and because it was what the science obviously was, that this was a lab-made virus. So Anthony Fauci is dispatched over to the CIA. The director of the NIAID, guy's in charge of infectious diseases, is dispatched over. I mean, why wasn't Francis Collins? Because he's probably, because he's not a CIA asset himself. He's just an idiot. But anyway, so Anthony Fauci goes over there because 6 out of 7 CIA scientists had concluded that this was, in fact, a man-made, lab-made virus. Anthony Fauci goes over and pays them off. This is all proven. There's no dispute here. He pays them off with cash and changes it into a 6 out of 7 believe that it's natural origins after they receive cash payments. After he walked into the CIA and never signed in. You can't do that. Why is it that Joe Biden's documents are kept off official books? That's not even legal. He was the vice president of the United States, and his inner workings are kept off of public documentation. Anthony Fauci doesn't have to sign into the CIA as he goes over and bribes CIA officials / scientists. Unreal. All right, here's a little bit on Doge here. Just have to, like, USAID is dead and gone. Well, it is. Well, for now, you know, if we don't have J.D. Vance as president, then they'll bring it back. But anyway, Mario Nafal video. Mike Benz, USAID funded the group managing Soros prosecutors. So we see USAID, all those funds for the Muslim Muppet shows, the $50 million for circumcisions, the $50 million for condoms, and the myriad of other things. I should have brought my list. I've got a huge list of all the USAID expenditures. Absolute ridiculous expenditures. But not only were they wasting all of that money, which, again, you can't even prove that the money ever actually goes there, because we know the $50 million for condoms in Gaza. Remember, now there's $50 million that were Mozambique circumcisions. And then the $50 million for condoms in Gaza actually didn't go, obviously, to condoms. It went to fund Hamas. And that was paid for by you and I. But Mike Benz, USAID, funded the group managing Soros prosecutors. Play for me.
USAID paid $27 million in just 2 grants alone to the Tide Center here in the U.S. The Tide Center is not just the fiscal sponsor of the Black Lives Matter Foundation, but they are also the fiscal sponsor of a group called FJP, it's Fair and Just Prosecutions, which is the group that manages the Soros prosecutors and tells them who to prosecute, who not to prosecute, has them sign pledges like Alvin Bragg and Letitia James, gives them talking points, gives them social media posts. This is all according to the Media Research Center, I should note. These are U.S. prosecutors, where the fiscal sponsor of that group, 30% of Americans live under these Soros prosecutors now. And they're working with this group, Fair and Just Prosecutions, and they get their fiscal sponsorship through a mega grantee of USAID. When you read that accomplishment section, you don't know what crimes these people have committed. You don't know if they're guilty or innocent. USAID doesn't even brag about that in the document. It's the raw number. 456 of our enemies got arrested because of the incredible return on investment for paying our own mercenary media assets $20 million. And think of the return on investment. We paid them $20 million and we seized $1 billion. You don't know what the crimes are when you read that document as a U.S. citizen.
I mean, did everybody hear those numbers? So this again, and of course this is a recent video. This is just what's been cut. So you think about this, Brent. Think about this, Aaron. Think about this, everybody that's watching. How long has this been going on for how many years? And this is just a sliver of the USAID budget. $27 million last year went to the Tides Center. That's a direct contribution to a political action group. They might as well have donated it to the Democratic Party. And who funds the USAID? You and I do. So you and I sent $27 million to the Tides Center Foundation, to the Tides Center. You and I did, which is the primary funder for Black Lives Matter, so that Patrice Cullors could buy another mansion in a white neighborhood. Imagine this. How long has this been going on? How many hundreds of billions of dollars in a country that's $37 trillion in debt has gone? Because all our country's about, Tom, you already say this all the time, I know, and I'm actually beating this dead horse on purpose. All our country's about. All Washington, D.C., not us rudimentary people. And I don't mean rudimentary in a little way. I'm talking about we are the base of this country. We are the United States of America. There, you know, God is no respecter of persons. We're all on the same level. I'm saying Just think about the colossal, giant waste of money. $37 trillion in debt going to our political opponents. And you and I are supposed to sit back and trust, because we're told by the government, these are unbiased, nonpartisan organizations. The Tide Center that funds Black Lives Matter and funds the fair and just prosecutors, which is the primary funder for George Soros prosecutors. You might as well have just sent it to the Democratic Party directly. Why does none of this end up, if we're supposed to trust our government, then why does none of this get donated to right-wing NGOs, right-wing organizations? Why does it all end up going to left-wing organizations like the Tide Center, which funds BLM, and then to the Fair? You always look, I love the names, because it's always an inverted name. George Soros names his organization Fair and Just Prosecutors. So, of course, it's unfair, unjust criminal prosecutors. And those prosecutors are governing 30% of this country. And that money is being spent, our taxpayer dollars, is being sent to Democratic Party initiatives. Because all our country is about, is forming NGOs using our taxpayer dollars to give Democrats careers and funding. We pay them to disperse funding. Think about it. Again, I know I've used this example. It's probably the fourth time. But they give an organization like USAID, they give $27 million to the Tide Center. All right? And of course, some of it's going to go to Black Lives Matter. Some of it's going to go to Soros's Fair and Just Prosecutors Agents organization. But what they really do is they get $27 million, and they're supposed to dispense this, you know, these monies. They are to dispense these dollars. So they get $27 million. They pay themselves $26 million to dispense $1 million. That's what they do. Listen, you could summarize our entire country that way. Whether it's the National Endowment for Democracy or any other, whether it's the Atlantic Council, all of this money that's being sent to unbiased, non-biased, apolitical organizations that are all majorly leftist. I can't even use the word left-leaning. They're not left-leaning. They are, in fact, leftist, but we're all supposed to pretend, you know, like media matters. We're supposed to pretend like media matters is unbiased. We're supposed to believe they're nonpartisan because they're all receiving this money. Why does George Soros, I'm trying to remember exactly what he's worth, $38 billion, I believe it is, something like that. Why is it that he gets our government money? Or is he only worth $38 billion because we've been funding his NGOs and giving him billions? Is that the reason why the number one funder for the Democratic Party is George Soros? Are you and I giving George Soros his money to fund Democrats who then politically work against us? Our political enemies? Is that what's happening? I'll just give you a clue. Yes, it is. That's all that's been happening. And then what they do, these organizations like Fair and Just Prosecutors, they come up and say, and Mike Benz was talking about it, they come up with a list of people that they prosecuted. He used 500 enemies that we prosecuted. Well, what 500 enemies of what exactly? 500 enemies that did what? That 500 enemies that were accused of crimes that they didn't commit or accused of crimes that don't even exist, like Donald Trump, like Steve Bannon, like Navarro. So you and I, our taxpayer dollars, are going to Fair and Just Prosecutors run by George Soros to run campaigns against us and prosecute our political allies and our political representatives. That's what our country's all about right now. And that's why you have DOGE. So that, luckily, that's been cut. USAID has gone from 14,000 employees to zero. It's exactly where it should be. All right, get this now. Nick Sorter, is that where we're at, guys? Make sure I'm on the right one. All right, Nick Sorter video, hashtag breaking. FBI Director Kash Patel just announced that they have arrested the terrorist who firebombed a Kansas City Tesla showroom. He's facing 20 years, and this is the second anti-Tesla terrorist caught this week. FBI apprehended Owen McIntyre. You guys can just side by side that, you guys, when you have a chance. The FBI apprehended Owen McIntyre. Here's what he did right there. See it in the parking lot. Beautiful human beings. Wonderful people. I just wonder how this is what it means to be a Democrat. in 2025. And Jimmy Kimmel urged people to do it. He actually urged people to vandalize Teslas. But that's FBI apprehended Owen McIntyre, college student in Boston. Well, I was surprised, indoctrinated college student. He threw a Molotov cocktail at a dealership while home. That's how he spent his spring break, while home for spring break. That's how he spent his spring break, right there, burning up Teslas at a Tesla dealership. Well, he's now apprehended and is facing 20 years in prison, and Pam Bondi's not taking plea deals. So you know how often the feds win? 98% of the time. So good luck to this guy. And you know what you just bought yourself, Owen? 20 years of not touching a woman. Congratulations. Congratulations. Enjoy it. And you better hope you're not an effeminate man, because then you'll be going to be touched in a way you don't want to be touched when you go to federal prison. Don't bend over and get the soap. Leave it at that. All right, so let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. So new in Minnesota. So here, of course, is Tim Walz's state. I think does this have audio?
This doesn't have audio.
Okay, no audio. I didn't write enough of the notes on it, but this is a member of, Aaron, see if you can pull up that, find it. Just actually tap on it on Telegram and then put yourself on and then read what it says from the video, because I didn't write enough down on my notes here because I rushed it at the very end to write down, because I want everybody to know who this guy is. Now you see him right here as Aaron finds it. When you do, Aaron, just replace anything you have to and put yourself on and read it to me.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know who this guy is, because he's a government official. This is a government official who's actually, look at him, he's out there walking. Poor dog. Don't you feel sorry for dogs who are owned by people like this? But anyway, so there he's out there, and he's vandalizing a Tesla and doing $20,000 worth of damage to this Tesla. $20,000 worth of damage to this Tesla. I got it right here. All right, here we go. I got it.
Okay, good.
All right, switch it over to Twitter here. Oh my gosh, this is so freaking
technology, man.
All right. Oh, there I had it. All right, here we go. New minister. What the heck is this? Twitter's like glitching out, man. What the heck is going on? This is so weird. Come on. What is wrong with our internet here?
That's not the internet. I think it's your iPad.
Look at that. No, it's not the iPad. New Minnesota government fiscal policy analyst busted for causing $20,000 total in damage to multiple Teslas. 33-year-old. This is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. This is him. Dylan Brian Adams works for the state of Minnesota Department of Human Services. He's servicing humans right now. Under Governor Tim Walz, of course. And didn't Tim Walz denigrate Tesla also and rejoiced at the downgrade of Tesla stock, which is now right back up? Adams was arrested after multiple... Look at this guy. Now he's 33. How many videos have been on social media of people being caught on the Tesla cameras? And you still do it, because this just occurred. I mean, I guess not only are you delusional as a Democrat, not only are you criminal as a Democrat, but you have all of your false virtue and your false causes, but you're also stupid. You're 33. Now he's 30. He's part of Aaron's generation. He's only 2 years older than Aaron. So he knows tech.
Yeah.
And so he's been on social media. He's been on social media. And he knows. He knows that all of these people, look at how stupid you are, that all these people are being caught on Tesla camera. Look at that. I mean, you're finished. Now, he caused $20,000 to multiple vehicles. I wonder how long he's going to spend in federal prison. Aaron just sent me this. New Minnesota government.
That's the same
fiscal
thing.
Fiscal policy.
So you got it from there.
Okay, yeah. I'm good. According to his LinkedIn page, Adam has been working for the state of Minnesota for nearly 7 years. He graduated, of course, from John Hopkins University, part of Event 201. Oh, known gosh. CIA cutout. What a surprise. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Jennifer Say video. I just want congratulations to the state. Let me get back on with everybody in the chat here. All right, there we are. Back on the chat. There we go, so I can see everybody's comments. But anyway, Jennifer Say video. Right now in California, notice the states, California, Oregon, and Connecticut. I want everybody to hear this. Because aren't we always told that really these men playing in women's sports has no impact? It rarely ever happens. Isn't that what we always hear, guys?
Yeah.
We always hear? Yeah. It doesn't ever happen.
No.
So like... You know, Brett's got two daughters. He doesn't have to worry that his kids won't be able to play in sports because men want to take their positions on sports. And I'm sure he's really looking forward to having fully penis men in the locker room with his daughters. No. Like we all have. Of course, nobody would be alive if they tried it here at Foundation Church. But anyway, right now in California, Oregon, and Connecticut, the number one ranked, I don't know if it's long jumpers, high jumpers, ranked high jumpers, you know, they go over the bar like that, in the girls' divisions are boys. California, right now in California, Oregon, and Connecticut, the number one ranked high jumpers in the girls' division are boys. Is there a video of this? Yeah, there's a platform. Yeah. So that's always the argument, whether it's Shannon Mills in Maine or whatever, they're always saying it rarely ever happens. I just wonder, for me, all these virtue signaling Democrats, when your daughter, because it's going to happen, again, I just used this example, when your daughter loses her scholarship, how are you going to feel then? When you actually feel the impact of the policies that you yourself support, I just wonder how you will feel at that moment when it actually happens to you. So, I mean, again, but they keep saying it rarely ever happens. But eventually what's going to happen is who's going to get recruited now? When you have the number one ranked high jumpers in California, Oregon, and Connecticut are all boys, the girl high jumpers are all boys, who's going to get recruited to the colleges? I mean, if you're talking about, you have UConn, you have Cal, USC, Oregon State. So when these kids are being recruited, your daughter, because all of the Democrats, Democratic virtue signaling, minivan driving white educated women are all standing around. Just notice me. Notice my virtue as I clap on a boy who's wiping the floor with my daughter. So how are college recruiters now going to be specifically targeting trans athletes? Of course they are. You're going to lose your job. You got a multi-million dollar job in college, as it's to say, the woman's volleyball coach at UCLA, the woman's volleyball coach. And now you're facing, let's say, the University of Oregon, and half of their players are trans men. So you're going to lose every match by, 15 points. So are you not going to recruit men now to pretend that they're women so that you can keep your job? Because otherwise you're going to go 0-10, 0-15, 0-20, however many matches that they compete in. That's what's going to happen. And they keep saying it's not going to happen. Well, now in these Democrat states, right now in California, Oregon, and Connecticut, the number one ranked high jumpers in the girls' division are all boys. And they tell you that it never will happen. Yeah, okay. All right, Libs, the TikTok video. This is Dayton, Ohio. Brent, your home, your my family's home state, your home state. Dayton, but not your hometown. Dayton Public Schools Board of Education voted 7-0 in favor of rejecting the Trump administration's order to remove DEI initiatives and programs from their district. We'll just play this for a second because I just want you to feel the vibe. Play it for me.
Resolution regarding U.S. Department of Education Title VI certification, whereas the Dayton Board of Education remains fully committed to the principles of equity, inclusivity, and legal compliance in the education of all students across our district. And such as Dayton Public Schools Board of Education, ODEW, has requested all LEEs to submit signed certifications by 11:59 p.m. on Friday, April 18th, 2025. And whereas Superintendent Dr. David Lawrence, as the Chief Executive Officer of Dayton Public Schools, has executed prudent judgment in declining to sign the Title VI certification document as currently presented.
I just wanted you to get the vibe because, of course, we have a masked person in April of 2025, because that's a recent video. April of 2025, leading a school board meeting in a mask, because that is her oath of allegiance. She's saying, I believe in DEI by wearing this mask. You're like, mask has nothing to do with DEI. Mask has nothing to do with stopping a virus either, but yet they still wear it. It's an oath of allegiance. It's a 2025 Democratic Party globalist swastika. Let's go to this. The White House tweet. So this is funny. And this is actually came from the White House, because the New York Times put out this article with this headline: Senator meets with wrongly deported Maryland man in El Salvador. So the White House puts out, fixed it for you, New York Times. Oh, and by the way, Chris Van Hollen, he's not coming back. Abrego Garcia is not coming back. He's not. It's impossible. So the New York Times, so they, of course, fixed it. Senator meets with deported Maryland man crossed out MS-13 illegal alien in El Salvador, who's never coming back. So they fixed the out. I love the hubris of the current White House. All right, let's go to the next one. And wokeness video: Kilmar Abrego Garcia's wife freezes and refuses to answer why she asked for protective order against him in 2021. Play for me.
I have to ask it. You did take out a temporary order of protection against your husband in 2021. Were you in fear of your husband?
Husband is alive. That's all I can say.
Okay, and you know I'm not going to push on that apparently. But how much hope?
So how do you know when you're wrong? How do you know when you're wrong? When you refuse to answer a question. That's how you know. Were you in fear of your husband in 2021 when you sought the domestic violence injunction? My husband's alive. That's your answer. And again, how do you look at yourself in the mirror? You're like, Tom, get past it. I can't. I mean, literally, if I was a Democrat in 2025, I would have to just stop being a Democrat. I mean, you just have to stop. There's absolutely no real value to being a Democrat. I mean, you're asking this question, and you're a cuck boy like Michael Strahan, but ask the question: Were you in fear of your husband when you sought an injunction? Seeking an injunction, first of all, means that you are, in fact, in fear of your husband or your wife, whoever you get an injunction against. So that answers the question. But she refuses to answer it and then answers with, my husband is alive. I mean, again, this is your cause, Chrissy Van Hollen. This is your cause, Cory Booker. This is your cause, Jemele Hill on CNN. This is your cause. I mean, don't you look yourself in the mirror and go, what was true in that scenario? I do. In anything and everything in life, I'm going, what is actually true about myself and about that scenario? What was actually true? The answer was, twice, in fact, in 2020 and 2021, she was in fear because she had received repeated beatings by Abrego Garcia, this angel MS-13 member, which is a great pick. This is real. This is not fake. Put the next one up for me. It's not AI. This is real. It's from Donald Trump. Aaron, see if you can blow it up as big as you can on the hand itself. Just, and you can just even take Trump out of the pick, but blow it up as big as you can. But anyway, so this is an actual pick, because this was probably taken at CCOT. Perfect right there. Everybody see that's Abrego Garcia's hand. What's on there? What's on there? MS-13 is on there. That is not AI. That was the picture I'm sure taken at CCOT, because they document all of their gang tattoos. That's him. And that's, as a Democrat in 2025, your cause is to bring him back to the United States. You're like, well, that all occurred back in 2019. 2022, he was pulled over, caught human trafficking 7 people, and was currently and was actually on the terrorist watch list at that time, before MS-13 was designated as a terrorist organization. So even before that designation, he was on the terrorist watch list. And it was the Texas Highway Patrol, THP, that pulled them over. Okay? And he was told, they were told by the Biden administration to let him go. It's as if they want terrorists in the country, because they do, because they want to terrorize you into running to them for help, the federal government. And as you do run to them, you relinquish your God-given rights. Go to the next one for me. Just a funny pick. I don't usually do this, but here's Chrissy Van Hollen. This is really the absolute epitome of Chrissy Van Hollen right here. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. We are for open borders. We are for not only importing people, we're for re-importing them after they've been deported. We're for slaughtering the unborn. We're for having in the states of, we go back to that, in the states of California, Oregon, and Connecticut, the number one ranked high school high jumpers being in the girls' division being boys. That's what you're for as a Democrat in 2025. And please run AOC for president. That would be the funnest thing ever. AOC versus J.D. Vance. I would love to see that debate, wouldn't you? As she, you know, goes into her ghetto lingo whenever she feels like it's politically expedient to do so. All right, let's do some vaccine stuff. Vigilant Fox video. That's when Kennedy sounded the alarm on what's happening now and why it's so catastrophic. Of course, we're talking about the autism numbers, as he has now pledged. And I'm about to show you this unbelievable video from several years ago. This was all exposed years and years ago. That's when Kennedy sounded the alarm on what's happening now and why it's so catastrophic. He said the rise isn't just in frequency, it's in severity. So not only are more people getting autism, the severity of autism is going up. Two years ago, it was one in 36, the people got autism. The CDC data released this week is now one in 31. It used to be one in 10,000, but this is how far we've gone. What was it? You always have to look. What's the truth in every situation? What changed? Nothing but vaccinations. Play for me.
2 years ago, it was one in 36. The CDC data that we released this week shows one in 31, but it's a state-by-state data. And the worst state is California, which actually has the best collection methodology. So they actually probably reflect what we're seeing nationwide. In California, it's one in every 20 kids and one in every 12.5 boys. And if you look at the minority numbers, which we don't do very well, it's much worse. And the low-functioning autism, in other words, people who have full-blown autism, which is about...
And there are degrees.
There are degrees. About 25% of the population of that, kids with autism, about 25% of them are nonverbal, non-toilet trained. They're, you know, they have all these stereotypical behaviors, head-banging, biting, toe-walking, stimming. And that population is growing higher and higher. So it's becoming a larger percentage. So we're seeing much, much more, many more cases that are now linked to severe intellectual disability.
If you go back to just 2016, 8 years ago, it was one in 54. If you go to 2000, it was one in 150. What was the number when you were a kid, and what do you think is going on?
Well, there's really good data on that. There were many studies in the peer-reviewed literature. Probably the most important study was the biggest epidemiological study in history at that time in Wisconsin. It looked at 900,000 kids. It was published in a high gravitas journal, peer-reviewed study, and they found the rate to be 0.7 out of 10,000, so less than 1 in 10,000.
So did everybody hear that? It used to be 0.7 in 10,000. And people just nonchalantly shrug this off. Imagine being somebody who doesn't think, I mean, because it's the majority of Americans. It's not us. We're all red-pilled. But the majority of Americans don't think vaccinations have anything to do with autism. The moment that the vaccine companies received indemnity where they could not be sued, and who put that in place? Removing him from being the number one president of all time? Ronald Reagan removed indemnity. He removed liability. He gave the pharmaceutical companies indemnity from being sued. He released them from all liability from being sued. At that time, 0.7, less than 1 in 10,000 kids ever got autism. By the time, and then now you get like 70 injections. 70 injections. You get a hepatitis B injection when you're 6 months old? What are you going to, you going to have sex with somebody who has hepatitis? You're going to use a rusty a needle when you're 6 months old? As well as human papillomavirus vaccinations when you're one? Those are all sexually transmitted diseases. And are they grooming them because they're all, you know, want them to be, you know, in sex slavery and sex trafficking? Well, that could be. We have 400,000 missing kids already. But anyway, just under the Biden administration. So when back in the 80s, when we had 0.7 people out of 10,000 getting autism, By the time we got to 2001, it was one in 150. Think about that change. Think about that change. And then by the time we got to 2000, think about these numbers now. And it's almost looking at Nancy, it's almost like looking at Nancy Pelosi's stock tracker. You know, who's I always forget his name. Gosh, dog it. Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett's the greatest stock trader by everybody, whether you like him or not, politics or not. Greatest stock trader in history. He has never, ever gotten to Nancy Pelosi's level of stock trading.
Right.
Never. Or Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who made 149% in a year. Warren Buffett never has ever broken 30%. Ever. Is the greatest stockbroker in history. And did people just let these numbers go by? You have Act Blue claiming that a little old lady in Madison, Wisconsin gave $5,100 donations to Joe Biden. And where's the FEC? And there's thousands of examples like that. And now you have these numbers and nobody's alarmed. Look at these freaking numbers. Look at it. So I was off of my 1980s. So it was one in 500 in 1970. And I can't remember. He must've been in the 1960s where he said it was one in 10,000. Well, whatever. So one in 500, it took us 30 years and now it's one out of 150 people. And then by the time you get to 2016, it's one in 54, 33% increase in 16 years, 15 years. And now just 2 years ago, so that would be 2023. So 7 years after 2016, it goes 2016, it's one in 54 people are getting autism. Kids are getting autism. And by the time we get to 2023, it's one in 36. And by the time we get to 2025, it's one in 31. And in California, it's one in every 20.
Jeez.
So this is all statistically proven data from the CDC. Look at right there, CDC. Why is the CDC increasing vaccinations, increasing their recommendations of vaccinations, therefore, for all intents and purposes, mandating them? Because all the school boards pick it up and your kid can't go to school unless they get the CDC recommended vaccinations, henceforth making them mandated. How does anybody look at these numbers and not think it's the vaccines? And the worst state in the union is the most heavily vaxxed state in the union, of course, being the People's Republic of California. Unbelievable. And nobody cares. Nobody looks into this. So I got to show you this video. It's long. This might be the longest video I've ever played. I think it's like 9 minutes. But you got to see it. Don't leave. I'm telling you, you got to see this video. It's from Cheryl Atkinson. The story they don't want you to see. Republicans and Democrats on camera tell me party leaders ban autism vaccine and vaccine safety hearings due to pharma influence. Play the video for me.
Now we have remarkable new information. A respected pro-vaccine medical expert used by the federal government to debunk the vaccine autism link says vaccines can cause autism after all. He claims he told that to government officials long ago, but they kept it secret. Yates Hazelhurst was born February 11, 2000. Everything was normal, according to his medical records, until he suffered a severe reaction to vaccinations. Rolf Hazelhurst is Yates' dad.
At first, I didn't believe it. I did not believe that vaccines could cause autism. I didn't believe it.
This is today's hard reality for Yates. The trademark brain disease, pain, and inability to communicate that's common with severe autism. In 2007, Yates' father sued over his son's injuries in the little-known federal vaccine court. It was one of more than 5,000 vaccine autism claims. Congress created vaccine court in 1988 in consultation with the pharmaceutical industry. In the special court, vaccine makers don't defend their products. The federal government does it for them, using lawyers from the Justice Department. Money for victims comes from us, not the pharmaceutical industry, through patient fees added on to every vaccine given.
Our hearings are all closed to the public. That's statutory.
In 2007, Yates's case and nearly all the other vaccine autism claims lost. The decision was based largely on the expert opinion of this man, Dr. Andrew Zimmerman, a world-renowned pediatric neurologist shown here at a lecture. Dr. Zimmerman was the government's top expert witness and had testified that vaccines didn't cause autism. The debate was declared over.
But now Dr. Zimmerman has provided remarkable new information. He claims that during the vaccine court hearings all those years ago, he privately told government lawyers that vaccines can and did cause autism in some children. That turnabout from the government's own chief medical expert stood to change everything about the vaccine autism debate if the public were to find out.
And he has come forward and explained how he told the United States government that vaccines can cause autism in a certain subset of children. And the United States government, the Department of Justice, suppressed his true opinions.
Hazelhurst discovered that later when Dr. Zimmerman evaluated Yates as a teenager. That's when he partnered with vaccine safety advocate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has a voice condition.
This is one of the most consequential frauds, arguably, in human history.
Kennedy was instrumental in convincing Dr. Zimmerman to document his remarkable claim of the government covering up his true expert opinion on vaccines and autism. Dr. Zimmerman declined our interview request and referred us to his sworn affidavit. It says on June 15, 2007, he took aside the Department of Justice or DOJ lawyers he worked for defending vaccines in vaccine court. He told them that he discovered exceptions in which vaccinations could cause autism. I explained that in a subset of children, vaccine-induced fever and immune stimulation did cause progressive brain disease with features of autism spectrum disorder.
This panicked the two DOJ attorneys, and they immediately fired Zimmerman. They called, that was on a Friday, and over the weekend they called Zimmerman and said his services would no longer be needed. They wanted to silence him.
Days after the Department of Justice lawyers fired Dr. Zimmerman as their expert witness, he alleges they went on to misrepresent his opinion to continue to debunk autism claims. Records show that on June 18, 2007, a DOJ attorney Dr. Zimmerman spoke to told Vaccine Court, "We know Dr. Zimmerman's views on the issue. There is no scientific basis for a connection between vaccines and autism." Dr. Zimmerman now calls that highly misleading. The former DOJ lawyer didn't return our calls and emails. Kennedy has filed a fraud complaint with the Justice Department Inspector General, who told us they don't comment on investigations or potential investigations. Meantime, CDC, which promotes vaccines and monitors vaccine safety, never disclosed that the government's own one-time medical expert concluded vaccines can cause autism. And to this day, public health officials deny that's the case.
Based on dozens of studies and everything I know as a physician and a scientist, there's no link between autism and vaccines.
CDC declined our interview request. In addition to filing a fraud complaint, Kennedy has delivered Dr. Zimmerman's affidavit to leaders on Capitol Hill. But there, he claims, is another key part of this story: roadblocks set up by the pharmaceutical industry, or pharma.
Everybody takes money from pharma, so they've all been corrupted. And it's almost impossible to get anything done on Capitol Hill.
Kennedy, a Democrat, isn't the only one claiming vaccine industry money rules the day. We spoke to 11 current and former members of Congress and staff who claim they faced pressure, bullying, or threats when they raised vaccine safety questions. Several of them agreed to appear on camera.
There's no question in my mind whatsoever that the pharmaceutical industry had a great influence with people over at the CDC and FDA. There's no question in my mind.
Republican Dan Burton, former chairman of the House Oversight Committee, has an autistic grandson.
I am not against vaccinations.
He pursued vaccine investigations in the early 2000s. Beth Clay was one of his staffers.
There was a lot of pressure from people on the Hill.
When you say people on the Hill were exerting pressure, what kind of people? Colleagues?
Well, there were colleagues. There were pharmaceutical lobbyists. The pharmaceutical lobbyists had, you know, they're the same people that have been entrenched. They can walk into any office on Capitol Hill, and they'll talk to staff, they'll talk to members, and they'll encourage them to discourage our investigation.
At the risk of stating the obvious, why do they have that kind of access to members?
It's money. And if you look at the donations over the last 20 years, the pharmaceutical industry, and Republican and Democrat, they're nonpartisan. They put money everywhere.
Former Congressman Dr. Dave Weldon, a Republican, says he got the message loud and clear. If you would want to hold a hearing on an issue like vaccines and autism, your own leadership might fight you on that because of the financial influence the pharmaceutical industry.
No, they wouldn't fight you. They would kill it. It's dead. They don't even want to discuss it. It's dead on arrival. If you as an individual member want to take on the pharmaceutical industries, it's forget it.
Can you describe an incident or just how that would go?
It would typically be in a hallway or on the street, and you know, people would come up to you and say, you know, you really need to, you know, back off on this. It could be bad for the community or bad for the country or bad for you.
Weldon says he's generally pro-vaccine depending on the patient and the shot, and gives flu shots to adults. We asked him to review Dr. Zimmerman's new affidavit.
I found his affidavit and testimony through that affidavit to be consistent with my opinions. Some children can get an autism spectrum disorder from a vaccine.
Republican Bill Posey is a current member of Congress.
I don't have to tell you that industry is a very, very powerful industry. Matter of fact, I don't know of anyone more powerful than that industry.
Posey says his own party leaders twice promised to hold hearings on the topic, only to scuttle them in the end. Hazelhurst, who happens to be a criminal prosecutor, was scheduled to be a witness at one such congressional hearing. 2 weeks before the hearing in 2013, he briefed congressional staff.
I presented at that congressional briefing, and I explained in that hearing, if I did to a criminal in a court of law what the United States Department of Justice did to vaccine-injured children, I would be disbarred and I would be facing criminal charges. I think that scared the hell out of them.
The hearing was abruptly canceled. Meantime, Dr. Zimmerman, the one-time expert used to debunk vaccine autism claims, now says several of his own patients got autism from vaccines.
On Yates, let's get out of the car.
They include Yates Hazelhurst.
Come on, let's go.
Today, with intensive treatment, Yates is doing better. His dad hopes the new testimony from a most unlikely source will get new attention.
A child that was unnecessarily sacrificed, and hopefully good will come from his suffering.
This is what I'm talking about when I say red-pilled. See, I mean, I had no idea this kind of stuff was going on. I know a lot of you did. I didn't. And it's shocking to see. Why is it that pharma has access up and down the hallways of the House of Representatives on Capitol Hill? Why is that? Why are they allowed to walk into any office they want, but Aaron can't? Because they're paying off politicians. That's how corrupt our country is. And they're actually canceling hearings. They just get into the ear because you want to have an autism spectrum hearing on the effects of vaccines in relationship to autism. You want to have a hearing about it? Big Pharma goes in, whispers in some ears, and suddenly that hearing is canceled. And the real fun thing about it was the federal vaccine court, which is still in existence, by the way, but which we've heard about because of the COVID-19 vaccinations. And just keep in mind this latest statistical data for those who've received the latest mRNA vaccination, which is not a vaccination, it's a gene-altering therapeutic. 9 million children have received the latest form of the mRNA vaccination. Not the previous 3, 4, 5, 6. The latest one that Mandy Cohen pimped and whored as the final member, the final director of the CDC under Biden. It's 9 million. 9 million kids have received that freaking gene-altering drug. Imagine what our hospital is going to look like as those symptoms from that vaccine come to fruition. But anyway, just going back to autism. So you have the federal vaccine court. And just back, this was back in, you know, the earlier 2000s here. I don't know what exact years it was. It looked like I saw 2012, whatever. So just prior to 2015. So you had the federal vaccine court, and they had 5,000 claims in the court in and of itself. So if these were 5,000 claims from parents against vaccine companies, and who argued for the vaccine companies? The federal government, you and I, are paying for and did pay for our government to argue on behalf of big pharma, of pharmaceutical companies. Get this though. So they own both sets of the court. They own both sides of the court. They own the judge and they own the defense. And you go in and you want some sort of payment settlement because your kid now has autism for the rest of his freaking life. So you go in and the judge is from the government. The people arguing against you are for the government. I wonder why it is that nobody ever gets any settlements. And this is just like Pfizer in 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. Who was it that wanted, who wanted to keep the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine developmental data classified for 75 years? Pfizer. Who argued for that in court? The federal government did. Isn't that the very definition of fascism? The merging of corporatism and governance? That's what fascism is. So I just wanted to show you those numbers. And their guy, Dr. Zimmerman, who claimed that vaccines didn't cause autism, he never claimed that. He claimed that in some case, and by the way, it's way that his report is way too soft because now look at the numbers. In 2001, one out of 150 children got autism. In 2016, it went to one in 54. In 2023, one in 36. Right now, one in 31. In the state of California, one in 20. And I forgot this one in California, guys. One in 12 boys get it.
Oh my gosh.
And nobody gives a flying freaking crap. Can you imagine that? How about if you got autism? How would you like that? Aaron, put up that website you found for me. I want to show you just some hope here. This is the White House. Aaron, scroll around for me. We just kind of point out some stuff when you can. So this is the White House. Look at what Donald Trump has done. He's come out against the mRNA vaccination. Look at it. Look at this. Look, just stop right there. Wuhan is home to China's foremost SARS research lab, which has a history of, what's that say, Aaron? Conducting gain-of-function research. Number four, Wuhan Institute of Virology research where researchers were sick with COVID. Number five, by nearly all measures of science, if there was evidence of natural origin, it would have already surfaced, but it hasn't. Keep scrolling, Aaron. Look at this. This is now part of, we have a president who's on our side. That's why you don't hear him talking about these freaking vaccinations anymore. We're winning, but we need to expose the truth. All right, I didn't make it. I said 10:10. It's 10:19. Rumble Rants, JD Wool, $20. Mike Griffith, $20. Ferrison, $77, $10. Toady Nuthead, $10. Leon Fish Puppy, $5. Thank you guys so much. Love you. Appreciate you so much in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Don't forget about, listen, you got to have a home church. Trump is great. Easter Sunday, join us at Foundation Church, 10 o'clock Eastern time. You will see Aaron on the stage right around 10:15. I'll take the stage and start preaching right around 11. So join us no matter what. Don't go to a COVID caving church if they haven't publicly repented. Don't go there because they'll fall for the very next thing. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. If I don't see you on Sunday, I'll see you back here Monday night, 9 o'clock as always. Love you guys. Happy Easter. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.